everybody, and welcome to another edition of the AfriCast. This week it is just myself and Robin Chetty on the line. How are you doing, Robin?
Yeah, not too bad. Yourself? Just cold, I think.
Yeah, the cold is getting to me, man. It's just, it's been like, what, a week now that it's just been freezing cold. I'm over it. Bring summer back. Bring summer back. Unfortunately, Clinton Matos would not be joining us today. He's a little bit under the weather, so a speedy recovery to him, but we carry on nonetheless. Robin, you have some news for us from Microsoft.
Yeah, so this kind of follows on from a global skills initiative that Microsoft announced at the end of June. At the time, there weren't kind of details as far as what Microsoft was planning locally, but now we do know. Microsoft recently held a webinar to kind of unpack some of the details. As far as the global initiative goes, Microsoft is looking to try and assist up to 25 million people across the globe to, one, get access to digital skills via a collaboration with LinkedIn, and from there try and look for employment. So they kind of unpacked what that will entail locally. One of the partners that they're helping them out in terms of skills delivery is going to be Africa Tycoon. They're also looking at bringing on more partners on board, because this is, I guess, a long-term initiative that Microsoft is looking to roll out. So, yeah, that's kind of what they have in the pipeline at the moment. There's going to be a LinkedIn portal that people will be able to visit. They'll then be able to see what are the most in-demand jobs, and in particular, what skills involved in those jobs are required. You can then take courses. They're freely accessible, but obviously you have to worry about things like data and those kind of elements. So access to the portal itself is free, but you'll have to worry about data when you're actually doing this course online.
Yeah.
And depending on what course it is, you'll also get certification. And then from there, you can look at making yourself available for job seekers via LinkedIn as well. So LinkedIn is really a kind of key collaborator on this project. And yeah, I think it is a good initiative. It just kind of, you're going to see, in the coming weeks and months, how it is kind of planned locally and how kind of engagement we get.
Absolutely. I mean, initiatives like that are always good. Skills development is very important, especially here in Africa. So good on Microsoft. Moving now to less good news, I suppose, worse news. This week, Twitter was hacked. On Thursday morning, we awoke to the hashtag Twitter hacked trending, and we thought it was some silly lockdown trend that was trending, but alas, it was not. Twitter had actually been hacked. A couple of accounts started tweeting out a Bitcoin scam, basically saying, we're giving back to the community, send us your Bitcoin and we'll double it. And of course, that was not what was happening. They were just being scammed. But what was concerning was that the accounts were all verified accounts. Among them were Jeff Bezos, Uber, Kim Kardashian West, Joe Biden, Elon Musk, many, many more accounts were just tweeting this Bitcoin scam. And it soon became clear that Twitter itself had been compromised rather than those account owners being compromised. So Twitter reported on Thursday, we detected that what we believe to be a coordinated social engineering attack by people who successfully targeted some of our employees with access to internal systems and tools. However, a report from Vice Motherboard spoke to two anonymous sources who claim separately that they paid a Twitter employee or that they were working with a Twitter employee. So it's not clear, and two wildly differing statements leads us to believe that maybe these two anonymous sources aren't who they say they are, but of course, investigations are ongoing, so we don't know for certain. But what Vice Motherboard did see were screenshots of the tools that were used to execute this, or to tweet out the scam to Twitter users. And interestingly, Twitter is removing those screenshots that are posted on Twitter, saying that it violates its terms of service, which makes sense, because if they are internal systems that Twitter uses, it probably wouldn't want the whole world to see what it's doing. as of right now, time of recording, it's believed that 130 accounts were pawned in this attack, and 367 users fell for the scam, transferring $120,000 in Bitcoin to the attackers. So while Twitter did act very quickly when this was discovered, it seemingly didn't stop folks from parting ways with their Bitcoin and handing them over to attackers in hopes that they would double their money. So yeah, the Twitter is investigating the incident, but it is a big one. It is a very big one, given that it was Twitter itself that was breached through social engineering. If you don't know what social engineering is, it is where a hacker or another nefarious individual tries to glean information from you that will help them access a system or compromise you. That could be something as simple as what you have posted on your Facebook page, down to an attacker actually calling you and asking you to click a link. these guys are very, very clever. And some of the social engineering attacks I've seen are just, it's so simple for folks to fall for them. So yeah, Twitter will continue to follow the story. It is very, very worrying that a company this big fell prey to an attack like this. But yeah, suppose this is just the times we live in. Nobody is immune to cybersecurity. Absolutely nobody. Not even Jack Dorsey and Twitter.
Well, I mean, no one can say that 2020 hasn't been interesting.
I mean, I was just saying to both yourself, Robin, earlier this morning, and a couple of friends of mine, that the last couple of weeks have felt like a filler episode of Mr. Robot, because we have this Twitter hack. Then earlier this week, a tech CEO was found dismembered in his New York penthouse, which is harrowing, number one. And then you read the details of that story, and it seems like it was an organized hit. And on top of all that, we're dealing with a global pandemic where jobs are at risk and like companies are at risk of not being able to make it out of it. It's insane. 2020 is pulling out all the stops so far. So yeah. let's shift from hacks to another sort of hacking, I suppose. Forgive my terrible segue. Hacking and slashing in Ghost of. Now, forgive me, I've practiced multiple times, but Ghost of Tsushima, which is the latest title from Sucker Punch Productions and published by Sony Interactive Entertainment. Robin, you had the pleasure of playing this game. Let's start with a general overview. What sort of game is this? Was it fun for you? Yeah, give us the cliff notes.
Yeah, so very fun. I think like a lot of people that are probably going to play this, my interest was kind of peaked in 2017 when a teaser was released, and it kind of ticks all the boxes I look for when it comes to something really interesting. Set in feudal Japan, you play as a samurai. It looked gorgeous and beautiful just in terms of the visuals, and in kind of all those respects, it kind of delivered. It's an open world RPG. For me, kind of all the boxes I look for in a game, and yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it. I got to spend a good 2 weeks with the game. So I was able to explore kind of all the different elements, which isn't always possible with game reviews. Sometimes there's a big rush to finish as quick as possible. You miss some of the nuance, but that wasn't the case here.
So you say it's an RPG. Is it an RPG where I create my own samurai warrior, or is it sort of Witcher style, or Mass Effect, where I take over a character and play as that character?
Yeah, so you take over a character. The protagonist here is Jin Sakai of Clan Sakai. If anyone knows Highlander, you'll know that reference. You'll take over as him. He's a lord or a high-ranking leader on the island of Tsushima, which is currently under attack from the Mongol Empire, and in particular by Khotun Khan, who is looking to oppress the island of
Tsushima. Sorry, did you say Khotun Khan?
Khotun Khan.
Oh, Khotun Khan. Okay, I thought we were in some weird Mortal Kombat multiverse here for a second. Carry on, sorry.
Yeah, so he's attacking the island of Tsushima before he kind of makes his way to mainland Japan and continues the Mongol assault. So yeah, that's kind of, I don't want to give too much away in terms of the storyline, but that's kind of
cool. So I imagine gathering that you are a resident of Tsushima, that this is where the game takes place. Do you stay on the island for the majority of the game, or do you explore Japan in its entirety, or is it mostly just confined to the island?
It's confined to the island. There are three distinct regions.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of work your way from one side to the other as the story progresses, obviously trying to push back the Mongol invasion.
Mm. Okay, so now the question becomes about like gameplay sort of stuff. So as this is an RPG, I'm going to assume, just to make it clear to everybody that's listening, I have not played this game at all. I would love to, but I haven't played it yet. So I'm kind of just trying to gauge from Robin whether this is worth my money to buy. So let's talk about gameplay very quickly. How is the gameplay presented? Do you have like a skill tree that you need to fill out with experience that you earn from hacking and slashing through enemies? How do you unlock weapons? Just that sort of stuff. How does that all work, play out?
Yeah, so it's a very familiar kind of mechanic that Sucker Punch is working here. Anyone that's kind of played an RPG game, this isn't anything new that they're kind of introducing in terms of the gameplay. You earn experience by defeating enemies. That kind of grows your legend as a fighter on the island, because again, you're trying to essentially, I guess for lack of a better term, trying to galvanize the entire island against the Mongols, because there's a initial battle at the beginning, kind of very much like a Destiny 2.
Sorry. Water just went down the wrong pipe. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, so very much like a Destiny 2 or perhaps a Far Cry game, you start off with an initial battle, and pretty much everything is taken away from you, and you essentially have to try and build your way up.
I'm going to interject there, because I really hate when games do that, because I remember they did, what was the game? Prototype. They did something similar in the game called Prototype from many years ago, where you started out as this all-powerful person, and then they just stripped all your powers away from you. And even at the end of the game, I never felt as powerful as I did in that that opening sequence. I just hate it, because it gives you this, here's the character, here's what's possible. And then, sorry, it's not going to work out for you that way. Oh, at least that's the feeling I get. I don't really like that, but maybe I'm jumping ahead of myself here.
Yeah, I think I probably have the similar frustration in terms of when game try and do that. Mm-hmm. I think in this one, by the end of it, by the time you finish your campaign, you are probably more powerful.
Okay.
Compared to the start of the game, that initial battle. Also, along your way, you'll unlock different types of techniques. I guess the skill tree that you're referring to is kind of split into there's the samurai and then there's the ghost. Okay. The samurai is very much focused on your katana and kind of deflecting attacks, parrying attacks, trying to evade, and then countering with strikes. For the ghost, the focus there is a lot more on kind of gadgets, ways to deceive your opponent, and kind of trying to use that instead of say full-on confrontations.
And like kind of gives you, so am I right to assume then that you can take the game in like a stealthier approach, or does the game force you at certain sections to get into combat?
So there's a mix. So certain missions you do have to do are stealth missions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that's part of the fact. Well, it's kind of down to the fact that you have to learn the mechanics involved with kind of the ghost gameplay. But I kind of leaned more towards the samurai aspect. I wanted to take on Mongols head on.
Yeah.
I didn't want to run around corners and kind of hide in the shadows. I was quite happy to take on like a group of six or seven guys and try my best not to die. But I think very early on, what's quite interesting is there's a progression of you learning new skills, kind of growing your legend. When you grow your legend, for example, it will increase your health bar. It'll also allow you to have kind of more, gain more, they refer to it. So say for example, you kill an enemy, you get a certain amount of, I believe it's called resistance.
Yeah.
You can tap into that resistance to kind of heal yourself.
Oh, okay.
Essentially, the more you kill, the more resistance you get, and the more you can heal yourself if you take damage.
It reminds me almost like the adrenaline system in Assassin's Creed Odyssey, where as you damage people, you sort of unlocked the ability to execute certain skills or use that adrenaline to, like, do finisher attacks, that sort of thing. Is that the sort of similar mechanic?
It's similar, just in terms of the healing.
Okay.
If you want to do more, advanced attacks, you have to earn that right through kind of winning experience points, and then you kind of redeem those experience points in the skill tree.
Okay.
What I find quite interesting is that kind of early on, your health bar is like next to nothing. It only takes about 3 or 4 strikes before you're dead.
Oh, wow.
But as you kind of grow your health bar and you get more skillful and you kind of earn different kinds of armor and stuff like that, you can start being quite aggressive in terms of your gameplay, which I really liked. Because like I mentioned before, I'm not... Although the Ghost gameplay was quite nice at certain points, I was more leaning towards the just go full on, take the enemy head on and kind of see what happens.
Yeah, shoot first or slash first, ask questions later. So
pretty much.
I think it's now, let's try and chat a bit about the story. I don't want you to give spoilers, obviously, because want people to experience this for themselves. But like from your perspective, what was the story like? Was it a good story to uncover? Was it something that kind of fell as secondary to the combat, or was it a good mix of both?
I think the story itself isn't anything groundbreaking in terms of RPGs. I think it follows a very similar motif to a lot of games you've seen in the past. What does make it interesting is perhaps Jin, the main character himself. He's very much torn between being a samurai and doing things with honor and being a ghost and almost kind of being dishonorable in the way that he engages with the enemy. So it's almost a case of, do I go the samurai way and take on this enemy head on and try to save my island that way?
Yeah.
Or do I kind of go into these guerrilla tactics of the ghost and almost like any means necessary kind of way about doing things that is viewed as dishonorable but can ultimately get the job done? So he kind of always has to tread that line. And a lot of his interactions with the other characters in the game kind of also focus on that. His uncle plays a very central figure in the game of how he views his ghost tactics as being dishonorable, and kind of if he continues down that path, there's like no redemption for him.
Oh, wow.
But at the same time, he has to kind of measure up against the fact that he has to do everything in his power to try and save the island. And if that means that he has to do things that are deemed dishonorable, then kind of so be it.
I always love games that present that that conundrum to you, where it's like, okay, do you be honorable or do you do what you need to do? Like it's a very interesting choice, even if it's not something that you directly make in the game. It's a very interesting sort of problem to present to a player. I'm currently playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey a second time, and I'm. One of the things that I like to do is play games like that a second time to change my choice or to actively make different choices and see how the game changes from that point, or how my experience of the game changes from that point, rather. Because sometimes there's not too much of an impact in the world of a game, but it does kind of bring it a bit closer to home and make you think, you know, less than just like, oh, I'm just going to play this game and it's over and done with, but games like this, I feel, kind of leave something with you. Is that true here, Robin, or am I just kind of spouting off?
So I think it really depends on what kind of player you are. Again, I think the fact that we were able to get this game so early ahead of its actual release, I think that I could actually take my time in reviewing it, so yeah. I could really appreciate all the different elements. So I think that really plays a factor in kind of how I felt once the main campaign was over. Again, I don't want to give too much away, but there's a really interesting scene towards the end. Again, I think it will be quite interesting in terms of the choices that players make and kind of where you want Jin to go once the main campaign is ended.
Okay, very, very cool. So, okay, let's chat a bit about graphics, because the PlayStation 4 is getting a bit on in years, I suppose. I say that only because there's a new console launching this year. but graphically, the screenshots that I've seen from this game are gawk-worthy. They're like jaw-dropping. What is it like, Robin? Is it a beautiful game to experience?
Yeah, it's obviously there's a lot of highly stylized components. There's the kind of black and white cinema mode.
Yeah.
Which obviously harks back to kind of the old school samurai films and stuff like that, which is really a nice little touch that they've added. Also, the thing and elements like, for example, choosing between English or Japanese voice acting.
Yeah.
I thought that was also a really nice touch. In terms of the visuals, it's perhaps one of the best I've seen in quite some time.
Oh, wow.
Especially when it becomes to sunrise and sunset.
Yeah.
The game is quite beautiful, and the photo mode inside, really intuitive, allows you to play with some color gradients, different exposures. It allows you to do a lot of interesting things in terms of the camera. So, yeah, if you're watching a game that's kind of just going to be jaw-dropping in terms of the visuals, this is definitely going to be one of them.
I just remember seeing that initial, I think it was a teaser at E3, teaser trailer, two are interchangeable in my head, where Jin faced off against another samurai, and was just watching that, the fields of grass, the way it was moving in the wind, whoa, it was just very, very incredible. So, Robin, my next question is kind of to do with another game that looked at Japan, I suppose. So I don't really even know if it had to do with samurai. It was released last year. It was From Software's... now I forget the name. Just escaped me.
Sekiro.
Yeah, Sekiro. Shadows Die Twice. So I know that these are completely different games, but are there any similarities between Ghost of Tsushima and Sekiro Shadows Die Twice?
So I guess the only thing that I could tell is that there is, in terms of like the fighting mechanics, parrying, acting, avoiding attacks, and then timing your counter attacks are kind of similar.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, obviously, Sekiro is probably more punishing in that regard.
Yeah.
Purely because it's a From Software game. Also, kind of traversing different terrains is quite similar in Ghost of Tsushima to like about maybe a fifth of the way into the game, you get this hook that allows you to grapple onto certain objects and kind of traverse terrains. I know that in Sekiro, the mechanic is a bit different because that's essentially his arm that he's doing it with.
Yeah.
A prosthetic arm that he's doing it with. They are similarities in those kind of respects.
Okay. But in terms of difficulty and, like, story-wise, completely different games.
Yeah, the story is completely different. The difficulty, Sekiro is hands down more difficult, way more difficult.
Absolutely. I think it's also got to do with the two developers behind the games. Obviously, two completely separate developers, and From Software is known for making very tricky games. I don't want to say that they're difficult, because they can be beaten eventually. But yeah, it's I think that a lot of people just kind of see these two games and go, oh, Sekiro was really, really difficult, and I'm scared of trying this one out. And I don't necessarily think that is the case here. So, Robin, overall, what is your experience with Ghost of Tsushima been like? Is it a game that you would recommend? Do you think that it's going to be even though we're pretty late in the game, a system seller for the PlayStation?
I'm not too sure. I think there are going to be two camps. There's going to be one that say that the gameplay and the mechanics on offer aren't anything new as far as RPGs go. These are the same people that are probably going to say that this is Assassin's Creed MRI Edition. And I think that's probably a disservice to the game. In terms of visuals, like I mentioned, it's amazing. I really enjoyed the voice acting. The design and attention to detail was amazing.
Robin, something that I didn't ask about is what is the music like? Is like, because for me that's something that I'm always interested in. Is the music any good?
Yeah, so a lot of the time when you're playing, it's quite atmospheric, so it relies on the environment a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really cool mechanic where you can swipe up on your touchpad on your DualShock 4 controller,
yeah,
and that'll trigger the wind to blow in the direction of your next objective.
What? That's so cool. That's so cool.
So there isn't like an actual map on the UI when you're actually playing. You can press the option button and that can bring up the map and you can have a look there and set different objectives. But when you're actually playing, it's the screen itself is quite bare in terms of all the other kind of information that they put on screen.
That's so awesome. It's
just you and Jin and the island of Tsushima, which is quite cool.
That's cool. Sorry, carry on. You were carrying on about the game and whether it's a system seller or not.
Yeah, so like I said, I can't say it's going to be a system seller, but I think, like I mentioned, there are kind of two camps. One that will be quite critical and just say that this is just Assassin's Creed Samurai and there's nothing new here. But I think the other camp, which I put myself in, is appreciating the different elements that they put into play here. Stuff like mentioned just now about the wind.
Yeah.
You also use your touchpad, for example, to bow to other character NPCs in game. You can also use it to draw your sword as well. There's also nice little nuanced touches, like, for example, being able to create your own haikus. You'll kneel down in a specific spot as Jin and look around your environment and draw inspiration from there to kind of craft your own haikus, which is
quite cool.
It's a nice little change of pace. It's a nice little change of pace from the hacking and slashing. And speaking of which, the fighting can be really satisfying at points. Again, the big focus is on parrying and deflecting and then countering. So you are finding yourself waiting in a defensive position a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And just waiting for that moment to strike. But kind of once you do, that is quite satisfying. There's also a really, this might be a little bit macabre, but there's one mechanic where if you have killed an enemy, they're still like kind of lying on the ground, writhing in agony.
Yeah.
Press the square button to end their suffering and you stab them.
Oh, wow.
That's quite satisfying as well. So there are, I think also there's also the duels. Specific areas of the map you can face off against more powerful enemies and you're essentially in a ring and you square off against one another like that. That was quite nice as well. So there are little touches and nuanced elements that make this game unique. That's kind of my feeling about it.
Well, I mean, you pretty much convinced me to get this because it does sound interesting. And I think that, like you say, comparing a game to Assassin's Creed now, it's very easy to do that because Assassin's Creed has become a game that has adopted various forms throughout its life. But I feel it's doing a disservice to say, oh, this is just an Assassin's Creed samurai style, because it does sound very different. And it does sound like Sucker Punch has thought carefully about this game, especially things like being able to sit down and write a haiku, or like, it seems very simple and like, I'm not even going to do that in the game. But it's things like that that add to the immersion of games like this, where it puts you in that world and helps create a connection with the character, as it were. And I mean, you're going to spend however many hours in this game playing it, you might want to actually just invest in the story that's being told. Quickly, Robin, how long did this game take you to finish from beginning to end?
On the start of the campaign, took me roughly 20 hours.
Okay.
The campaign itself is quite short, but that's perhaps mainly because I was rushing through it.
Yeah.
Just to finish the review in time. But the game time can take between 30 to 50 hours, depending okay. on your skill level. So, and again, once you finish the campaign, there are also a whole bunch of different elements to try out. There are side quests. They're called Mythic Tales, where you can earn unique pieces of armor or weaponry as well. So there are things to do after the main campaign as well.
Okay. All right. That's pretty decent. I mean, I think if you're expecting a 100-hour game, those games aren't here yet. I think a lot of developers are kind of looking for just trying to make do before the next generation of consoles comes. Although this game has been a long time coming. And is there any word on DLC, or do you foresee that there will be expansions to this game, Robin?
So no word on DLCs yet.
Okay.
If there are expansions in the way, I don't foresee how they could happen on the island of Tsushima.
Okay.
Perhaps if Jin had to travel to the mainland or do something like that, there could be scope for sequels.
Yeah.
It's important to note that this story is taken from a real life event that happened.
Okay.
And kind of takes inspiration from that.
So there's no real scope for a sequel there.
But I mean, if Sucker Punch were to do more of these kinds of games that are, I guess, kind of focused on samurai and kind of this world, that yeah. would be great. If there was a Red Dead Redemption sized version of Ghost of Tsushima on the way, I would not say no to that.
Hey, you never know. I mean, Sucker Punch has pulled out the stops here. Maybe they've got something planned for next generation.
So, yeah.
Awesome. So, to give it a score out of 10, what would you give Ghost of Tsushima?
I gave it an 8.5 out of 10.
Not 10? Not 10, Robin? We haven't been paid for this review? What's going on?
Kidding. I haven't been paid enough. yeah, so the reason kind of why I just scored it down a bit was the mention of that kind of structure.
Yeah.
Also, there are a few little kind of buggy elements. The way sometimes NPCs move. Ladders seem to be very difficult for Jin to master for some reason. You can't get up and down a ladder very easily. So again, I mean, that could just be a symptom of the fact that we've got an early, a pre-launch version of the game or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It could change because the game launches today. It could change post that. But yeah, based on what my experience, yeah, 8.5 is a solid score in my.
I agree. I think that's. I mean, if a game has bugs, a game has bugs. We have to review it as it's presented to us. There could be a day one patch that fixes some of those bugs today, but as we've reviewed it, I mean, that's the product that we have been given, and that's just unfortunately the way that reviews go. But yeah, I think what you've told me, Robin, has convinced me to go out and give this game a try. Obviously, just so that everybody knows, we were provided a review code by Gamefinity on behalf of PlayStation. There was no money. There was no agreements. Gamefinity didn't even see the review before it was published. They gave it to us completely independently. So, yeah, check out our review. There will be a link at the bottom of this post. And, I mean, seeing as we're all still on lockdown and lockdown regulations were increased last week, back to curfew and all that sort of stuff. Maybe this weekend you should spend playing Ghosts of Tsushima. It's available now. You can purchase a physical copy, or can you buy it digitally as well, Robin?
You can buy digitally. I just wouldn't recommend physical just because...
You have to go into a shop. Exactly. The the pandemic kind of encourages you to buy stuff digitally. So we'll have links to the PlayStation Store if you want to buy it. Why not use that link? And then we'll have the review as well. But I think that's going to wrap it up from us for this week. From myself, Brendan Lotz, thank you so much for tuning in. And cheerio from Robin Chetty.
Yeah, pleasure as always.
Yeah, we'll see you all next week. Have a safe and warm weekend. Bye-bye.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.